We spoke last night about the subject of a dispensation that we're in. Many people talk about there's a theology called dispensational theology. It says we're in a dispensation. Dispensationalists typically say that the Holy Spirit changed his mind after the apostolic age, and he decided he just wanted to move for about 60 years, and then he was not going to move anymore. And so they say it all petered out with Peter, you know. The last apostle died, the last time the Holy Spirit did a miracle, the last time there were any healings. And of course, we understand that that's simply not true. Because those people say, there are no tongues, there are no miracles, there are no words of knowledge. And I go, well, that's awkward because we do that all the time. And there are no healings. I go, well, that's awkward because we just had a whole bunch of people healed. You know, it's kind of like someone debating with you and telling you something that you know to be true, and they say, look, that's not possible. You go, well, it's hard for me to have a discussion with you because it's patently true. And so we spoke about the dispensation we're in, and the problem is that many people have been preaching a dispensational view, that God no longer moves, God no longer cares, God doesn't want to bless your life, the grace of God is not freely flowing to you. And they preach a message that gets people on the beach, hiding in the bushes, thinking they're at war with God when actually the war is long over. The war was ended at Calvary. And so we live in a dispensation, which is what we spoke about last night, of the favor of God. Now is the day of favor. Now is the day of salvation. When Jesus got up in the church, Jesus comes out of the desert. He's been tempted by the enemy. He's been baptized, the Spirit of God has filled him. He's been tempted by the enemy. He comes out and he's about to launch his ministry. And the very first place he goes to is his hometown. Because Jesus says, I want to go back there and I want to tell my friends. I want to tell my people. I want to show them the kingdom has come. And so he goes in to his little where he grew up, Nazareth, and he opens up the scroll, and they give him the scroll, and he opens it up and he turns to the place where it declares Jubilee. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And a number of things. One of the things that Jesus says that the Spirit of God has anointed me to declare, that this is the day of the vengeance of God and the year of the Lord's favor. He says, I'm here to declare that God's vengeance is coming down on the enemy and God's favor is coming on to you. Part of what the Holy Spirit anointed him to say. Here's the good news. God's done. You drew a line in the sand. The enemy's not going to win anymore. God's vengeance is coming on those who will follow the enemy, but God's favor is coming on those who choose to follow him. This is the declaration of Jubilee. And Jesus gets up and he says, this is Jubilee for you. Jubilee was the declaration of rest, the declaration of freedom from slavery, the declaration of the redemption of all debt. This was a glorious celebration of freedom. And Jesus says, I declare to you, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to declare to you Jubilee. And then he says, today, what I've just said starts. It is fulfilled. Right now is that moment. This is no longer just a theory. This is no longer just a nice poetic phrase in the prophecies. This is now, right now, today. You have a choice. Today, this starts. And it goes dead quiet. And they're on the cusp of going, yes. And there's this moment of pause where the whole synagogue is going, and then some idiot in the back says, no, that's just Jesus. His sisters are here. And then the whole moment goes, what were we thinking? He almost had us fooled there. He almost, no. And then the Bible says, give him about 10 minutes of that. Then they get indignant at him. They go, that guy almost, he's blaspheming. So let's go kill him. So they take him out back. They're going to throw him off the cliff outside Nazareth. when Jesus walks away from them, there's a moment there. There was a moment where the Son of God declared a truth. And all that crowd had to do was go, yes. And if they had said yes, powerful miracles would have broken out among them. They would have seen the glory of God break out. They would have had a moment in Nazareth that had not been seen in their history. Because Jesus came back to Nazareth because that was his intent. But the Bible says, and they were indignant and they took offense at him, and he could only heal a few people. I wish we could get... It was a tough morning. Only a few people got healed. Eh? Wouldn't that be nice? That was a brutal morning. We just healed about 4 or 5 people. That's all they could do. But do you understand the view the scripture takes? It was a really bad day. They were just full of unbelief, and so only a few people got healed. So I want to talk today about seasons, about times, and about moments in God. So we spoke last night about a dispensation. I don't care where you are. I don't care what circumstances you're under. At any given moment of time, if you choose to say amen to the finished work of the cross, that eternal inheritance that was promised to the body of Christ down through the ages instantly becomes yours by faith. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care how tough it is. I don't care what your history is, what your background is. I don't care how faithful you've been. The moment you choose to turn your heart to God and you say, I believe, and you say amen to any promise of God, it's yours by faith in Jesus Christ. Instantly. Doesn't matter what moments you're in. So that's why we started with a general declaration of this is the season you're in. This morning I want to narrow it down a little bit and talk about the seasons that God will give to a church. The seasons, the times, and the moments. Seasons, we know, Ecclesiastes 3. I'm not going to take a long time. Ecclesiastes says there's a season for everything. There are certain seasons in God where there are things appointed for you. How about this one? It says it's good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young, for in that there is hope. It's good for young men to learn the value of hard work. It's not good for young men to just, everything they do just automatically explodes and they get everything they wish for immediately all the time. There is a season that's good and healthy for all of us to learn the value of hard work, to see, man, if I put in a full solid day's hard work, that's what it produces. So that, because that sense of month after month of putting in hard grind and seeing fruit come from it gives you a sense of the value of how much you can achieve and what creativity and diligence and hard work and faithfulness can achieve. So that when God blesses you with like 3 years worth of that, you suddenly see it in its context and you go, wow, thank you, Lord. Is that tracking? Do you make sense? So there are seasons that God will put us in where he's giving us perspective. He's trying to train us. He's trying to show us some things. So you go through a season where you preach like crazy and you give altar calls and one person every 6 months gives their life to the Lord. Go, what's going on? Then you have seasons where you can't sneeze and people come up to you and go, can I accept Jesus? How do I do that? Okay, what happened? What happened? I used to preach much better. And people are just, we went through a season in a previous church, Mark Bridges will remember, where I would not give an altar call. People would come up to me after the guests would come and say, how do I accept Jesus? Often that happened. And we got so used to it, we thought it was normal. We thought this is how church is. Then I planted a church in the States. And nobody's coming up and saying, how do I accept Jesus? They're coming up and saying, you know, you speak funny and I don't like the lighting and this chair's not right. I'm like, hey. I'm like, Lord, how did I get into the winter? I want to get back into the spring and the summer season. Get me back there. I don't like this winter thing. See, the issue with the season is you can, when winter's coming on, you can plant, you can weed, you can sow seed. But how many of you know, while it's wintertime, that seed's not coming up? You can be as diligent as you like out of season. You can sow and reap and water and I don't know what's going on. I keep watering, it keeps freezing up. Nothing's growing. So there are seasons in God. There are some moments in God where you go, well, look, Lord, I know, but I'm just going to work with the season. So you have to figure out what the season is. Because in the wintertime, some tremendous things happen. There's some death to the old. There's some leaves that fall to the ground. There's some killing up of all the bugs that are going to... Mosquitoes die if it's particularly cold. Yay! So every season has its value and its virtue. If springtime comes and you do not put in the hard work of sowing and reaping and preparing the soil, it's unlikely that you're going to reap in the summer. Make sense? If you're not diligent in the summer months to harvest, it's unlikely that you're going to have seed to sow next spring. If you don't reap during the summertime and store up and get ready, you're not going to make it through the winter. So we have to recognize that we're in a dispensation, but there are also then seasons that the Lord will bring. Now, if you understand the seasons, then you get to start to co-labor and you start to find a peace in the season. So if I recognize that it's coming up on winter, then and I keep warm by log fires, then I'm spending my days cutting down trees and chopping wood. Right? Because it makes sense, because I understand the seasons that's coming. So I have this big pile of wood outside my door so that during the winter time I can stay warm. And so people who tend to figure out the season stop trying to fight the season and they co-labor with what God's doing in the season. You go, okay, this is where we are. Okay, so right now this is what we're doing. So I've been through seasons in the church where I'm into let's grow. And the Lord's into this is not going to grow. It's not going to grow. I want you to spend time loving on the people, training the people, helping the people come whole, getting everybody clear on the same page, bringing a spiritual understanding. I'm going, okay, Lord, I've signed me up, but I want that to take 1 month and then we're back to grow. And he's going, no, it's been 12 years so far. No, son, we're going to grow. The day's coming. It's coming. Right now, I want you to get together a team of people. Who are not moved by selfish ambition. A team of people who recognize one another. A team of people who give their lives over to serve one another. A team of people who love like I want them to love. So when you got that team together and we're ready to grow, then I'll add a couple of thousand people to you. That's fine. We can grow. But that's not what I'm wanting to do now. I'm going, Lord, I don't like this season. I want to be in springtime and summertime. So the Lord will put seasons in our lives, not because he hates us, but exactly because he loves us. So we have to learn to work with the seasons. There are times. God will send times to a church. Sometimes trying times come, not because God sends them, but because trying things happen. The early church went through a trying time. When Saul, who became Paul, got it in his head that it was his duty to kill off all the Christians. And so he went out, found, got orders from the Sanhedrin, said, you can kill the Christians. He went from house to house, ripped them out, had them killed. It was a trying time for the church. Then the Lord says, you know what, I'm going to fix this. You get Saul saved, and you find in Acts 9, it says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, so it's a fairly large geographical area, enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and increased in numbers. It says there was a time where the Holy Spirit encouraged the church. They lived in peace. They grew in numbers. So there are some times where it's tough times. Sometimes when you have one of the three dangers to the flock. You have a predator that comes in who wants to scatter the flock. They're relatively easy to see. They look like wolves. They act like wolves. They want to destroy. They're relatively easy to spot. Sometimes you have diseased sheep. These are the hardest to spot. Because they look like sheep. They act like sheep. They smell like sheep. They've got a communicable disease, though. Unbelief. Sexual immorality. Arrogance. Bitterness. Slander. Divisiveness. Now, a sheep that's got one of those in its heart is difficult because that sheep comes in and starts to spread that divisiveness around. And you don't know that sheep's divisive until you hang out with the sheep. You get close enough for that divisiveness to want to pounce on you. Then you go, oh no, I don't like that. And then you start to feel divisive thoughts. And they go, you know, these elders, they could be doing better. You know, they only called me once last week. They should have come and visited twice at least. What kind of elders are these? That divisive spirit. Now, the Bible says, see, this is the most difficult thing to deal with is a diseased sheep, because eventually the shepherds have to deal with the sheep and quarantine the sheep. That's what the scripture says. Warn a divisive person once, warn him twice, and after that have nothing to do with him. Titus says that. 2 Timothy, he says, I warn you to keep away from every brother who is idle or divisive. How about 1 Corinthians 6? He says, Paul says, I told you not to associate with anybody who's sexually immoral or an idolater or divisive. He says, not at all meaning the people of this world, for in that case you'd have to leave the world. He says, no, I'm talking about if somebody calls himself a brother or a sister, but they're sexually immoral, with such a person do not even eat. Create a little distance. You've got to quarantine this person because there is a disease settled in their heart. And if we don't deal with it, it's going to spread throughout the whole dough. So Paul uses this phrase a number of times, a little leaven will work through the whole dough. Are you still tracking with me?
Yeah.
It got really quiet. You all, yay! And then you're like, oh no, I'm a little worried about this piece. I'm teaching the truth here. This is what shepherds have to deal with. You go, everything's wonderful, everything's wonderful. It's a beautiful season in the church, and then somebody with a divisive disease comes in. And you go, if we don't watch that, that's going to become a divisive root, a root of bitterness that grows up and defiles many. So you go, oh. So now, this is, I'm telling you what shepherds go through. You go, oh, I'd much rather just go and love them, but now I have to go and quarantine them. God, you know, can you watch out, brother, sister? There's a divisive thing in your heart. Who says I'm divisive? You know, you get that. So you have to step up and you have to quarantine people who will not repent. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
The third and most dangerous thing for a flock is a shepherd gone bad. This is what Paul warned them. He said, they will want to gather behind themselves. They'll want to take people from you and gather. No. They're weird. They're always pulling you away from your real shepherds into, can I come, let's have a little thing over here. It's our own little separate, because they're weird. We're going to come over here. It's us. Shepherd's gone bad. So, sometimes when one of those three things happens in a church, there's a season that brings disruption and contention in the church. And so we have to understand the times, and there's going to be a time where you go after that and say, Lord, we need help. We need this. And so you work towards bringing a season that changes the time that is going on in the church. In the early church, the Bible says, a time of peace came. Because Saul was converted to Paul. The whole movement against the church lost its impetus. In a season, a time of peace, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, was a gift to the church. And they grew, and they were encouraged by the Spirit, and they had peace. By the way, I feel like that's the word of the Lord to you. As a church, this is the time coming for you. Thirdly, I want to just speak to the seasons, there's times, and there's moments. The Greek word for this is kairos. There's two words in the Greek for time. One is chronos, which means chronological. We get up. This is how we think time works like this. In the Western world, we think time is chronos. It's chronological. We We have 24 hours a day. You've got to use them or lose them. And if you don't use them well, if you don't spend them well, you know. So we, Western world, typically views time in that perspective. And kairos is another word for time, but kairos means a specific, an opportune moment. If you want to think it's an appointed moment for the purposes of God. In Greek philosophy, they believed that the kairos was the moment when in a debate, the philosopher would debate and debate and debate, and then the kairos moment came when he would close his argument. It was the moment to close it. And you see this in Mark 1:15. Jesus uses, he says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The kairos has come, is what the word uses. The time has come. Right now is the moment. See, for 400 years in Israel, they had nobody had seen a miracle. Nobody had heard the voice of God. Nobody had seen anything but dry religion for 10 generations. If you went back, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was the last person ever to hear God's voice or see God move. But for 10 generations in our family, as far back as we can remember, nobody has seen anything. We've never seen God move. We've never heard the voice of God. And that was the state of Israel when John the Baptist arrives on the scene. And John the Baptist says, you better take a new brain. Metanoia. You better get a brain transplant because the kingdom of God is about to blow in here. He's not saying you better feel guilty for your sins. John the Baptist did not make sins the object of our repentance. He made the kingdom of God the object of repentance. He said you better repent because the kingdom is going to come. So he said you better take a new brain because the kingdom of God is about to blow in you. We're about to see miracles and power and the Son of the living God is about to arrive on the earth. And if you don't change your brain, you're going to miss the kingdom. The King of the kingdom is about to arrive. You better take a new brain. You better rethink because there's a moment here. There is a moment. The time has come. Repent. Wake up. Change the way you think. Get a brain transplant because the king is about to blow into town. And Jesus picks up the same refrain. The time has come. You better repent. That word metanoia is not the word to feel guilty for your sins. There is a Greek word that means feel sorry and guilt for your sins. It is used of Judas just before he hanged himself. But that's not the word used for the church. Repent means take a new brain. You better stop thinking the way you've been thinking, because the way you've been thinking, you haven't seen anything. Change this, because God's about to blow in. A kairos moment. Whoa, wake up, church. There's a moment here. Kairos. Because the kingdom wants to break in. Now, every now and again, God will float a kairos moment. And I don't know, it differs in different churches. Some churches, you go through a season and it's just been headwinds and headwinds and you're fighting and people are misunderstanding and leaving and huffing and puffing and you just, oh Lord, when does this end? We've been out on this lake all night. There's a storm. I think we're going to drown. When do we just get to the other side, Lord? Can we just find peace? And then the Lord gives you a moment, a time of peace. And suddenly everybody understands you. When you say things, they go, oh, that's wonderful. Hey, I like being here. This is fun. When you serve somebody, they understand what you're doing. They go, thank you so much. Before they go, did you see what he did? That mean thing. He's just out for personal gain. You go, oh, no, man, I'm not. It's so nice when the headwinds change and you hit the time of peace. And usually, the Lord will send some kairos moments to you. I think this camp is a kairos moment for you as a church. How you respond in the seasons, in the times, and in the moments makes a difference. In the next session, we're going to talk a little bit about some practical things we can do because of the season and the time and the moment. But right now, I thought it would be helpful just in the next 15 minutes, to have Michelle and come and just share some of what the prophetic word. Wednesday night we had this prophetic time. She'll have been waiting on the Lord. We really feel like the Lord gave a word for your church. And I want to just have her come up and just speak to that. And then maybe Mark can close off. Okay.
getting hooked up here.
Yeah. In your pocket. All right.
Okay, we're good. What Greg asked me to do was just go through some of the word that I shared with you on Wednesday night. I'm not going to read it all, but I think what I'd like to do is just look at exactly what the Lord's saying. What is the new season? And then what are some of the do's? Because I think sometimes we can receive a prophetic word as a church, but also as an individual, and wonder why years later nothing's happened. And I think there are times when there's a co-laboring with the Lord to see that word come through. If somebody gives me a word that the Lord's calling me to healing, I'm going to pray for people and see them healed, but I never actually find out what the scriptures say about healing. I don't mentor myself with people that are seeing breakthrough in healing. I don't pray for people. And then years later, I come and say, but the Lord said this and nothing's happened. Well, I needed to close the gap between what the Lord was saying and the manifestation of that by actually believing God and walking in it. So I just want to share some of the things that came out. What are some of the do's, and then what are some of the things that I believe you're going to see? So I felt like the Lord said it's a time to declare a season of change, which we are doing and going to do later on again. But the Lord said it's not a season of warfare or survival. So this isn't a time to be contending strongly and having hours of fighting the enemy, because the Lord said it's not a time of warfare, spiritual warfare. It's not a time of just surviving, but it's a season of rest. And the promise of the Lord was that he said it will be a season of rest under this current leadership. And it was a time to walk in peace. The Lord said it's a time to build and prosper. So in this season of rest, it's not a passive time of doing nothing. But it is a season where you're going to see the fruit of your labor. I believe you're going to see much fruit, because I know that there's been much labor. And then the Lord said the winter has passed and the rain is over. So just like Greg was making a clear distinction between different seasons, we're not going to behave like we're in a winter season. When the seasons change, we change our wardrobe. We change what we do. Sports agendas change. So we're going to change what we do because the winter has passed and the rain is over. And the storms that have raged against you are ceasing now. And then the Lord said it's a time for your fragrance to be released, which I believe goes beyond the borders of Heart City Church. So then what are the do's? Some of the, let me first speak what the Lord said. The Lord said he wants to see your face. He wants to hear your voice, because your voice is sweet and your face is lovely, which means that there's a distinction on this body, right? It means there's a distinction of your face. The Lord wants to see you. He doesn't want to see you just amongst the masses. There's something that you look like to the Lord. There's something that you sound like to the Lord. And I believe some of that is new songs. And the elders shared with me that some of that had been discussed as a worship team, which is very exciting for me. And then I felt like in the season of rest and peace, there's a call to intimacy. Which makes sense, because when you're at rest, you can connect far more easily sometimes than when there's this constant striving. In Song of Songs, chapter 1, it's interesting. She says, "My beloved is to me like a cluster of henna in the vineyard." So the Shulamite girl says very specifically, "My beloved is to me." And in this time of intimacy, I feel like the Lord wants to answer that for you individually. Who is your beloved to you? Not what you've heard, not what you've been told, but what if you had to write that sentence or say that, "My beloved is to me," who is he to you? And I feel like there's a call to intimacy, to see his face and to hear his voice and to be able to answer that question. And then I felt like the Lord said, "Build according to my promises over you in this time of rest and peace." Which means you need to know what the promises over you are as an individual, as a family, as a church. Because if we're going to build according to the promises, that's the material that we build with. So we know what they are, and we declare those words over ourselves and over our church. And then I felt like the Lord said that it was a time to break free from pressure of the circumstances. I believe there's many circumstances even here today God wants to change, and He will change, because the rough circumstances are never the place that God has not called us to dwell there. We pass through those places, but that's not where we stay. They're temporary places. But I feel like the Lord wanted to bring a release of pressure from the circumstances, which means there's a place in the season of rest and peace where we can live above the storms. And that's a wonderful relief, I think. And I think that was all. So there was the declaring of the season. It's a season of rest. It's a season of peace. It's not a season of winter. It's not a season of warfare. It's a call to intimacy. It's a time of the Lord wanting to see your unique face, hear your unique voice. And it's a time to build according to the promises. And the manifestation of that is going to be bearing much fruit. It's not a time to labor and not see. It's a time to see fruit. And it's a time to distinctly feel a release from some pressures.
I feel weird having two mics. Yeah. I know. Trying to get this to work for me. So it's wonderful when we have a couple that comes into our church who knows our church, but they don't live here, so they don't know everything that goes on. And it's not a case of every week I pick up the phone and I say to Greg and Michelle, oh, do you know what happened here? Oh, you know where we're going? Oh, you know what's this? You know what's that? So then they come in, and it excites me no end when Greg stands up and speaks last night, and I'm watching three faces this side going, because they're the only ones I can see. And I said to Greg, you said you took like 50% of my sermon from last Sunday and preached it last night. You just said it a different way, but he used pretty much most of the same scriptures and helped lay a foundation that we've already been laying. And so we see that when they come in, they add to that, and it helps us kick the ball down the field. And I mean, as has been said before, when we play rugby in South Africa, we watch rugby and we go, and all we're interested is the try line. That's what we want. We want to see the try line. But in American football, and which I'm still trying to understand, or Canadian football, every yard counts. You know, they take 1 yard and they jump up and they high five and they, and I'm 1 yard. What's the point of that? They celebrate every yard. And we as a church have to learn to celebrate every yard we take. Every healing, every salvation, every baptism, every word, every revelation. We got to yay and high five, and it's every yard. We got to learn to do that. So going back a little bit, November last year, the elders and deacons went away and we spent some time in prayer. And we came back and we declared to the church what? We feel there's a new season. Now I know we're in September, so Mark, you know, well, that's old. No, we have to understand seasons in God, as Greg has just stood up and spoke about. And when we see the seasons in God, and we don't know how long this season is for, and we have to walk into that, believe that, hold on to it, and take care of it. And that's why we started in January with a series on a new season. And we spoke about the what's what a new season, a new breed. We preached on taking ground and inheritance. And then just before I started that season, remember Mark Henshaw came into the church. And he gave us those 17 or 18 points that we put up and we printed out and we gave out to the congregation to go and read and pray about. And because we were convinced in our hearts this was a word from the Lord for us. But what I didn't tell you all, there was other stuff that Mark prophesied, and I didn't, but I put it out for all the elders and the deacons simply because they were words for us. And when Mark prophesied over the elders at the time, and we'd gone away and we'd heard from the Lord and we'd heard a new, everything new. Mark Stent comes in and he stands up and he prophesies over us, and most of you were there because it was an open, all he prophesied was new. New season, new mantle, new beginning, new this, new that, new the other. And he even went on to say to us, there were things that were in our hearts that we discussed with the elders at the time about the new season, that he prophesied, and he prophesied again to say there were things that in South Africa the Lord had given us, that Bridget and I had dreamt about, but had not had the opportunity to release in our new beautiful country. But we're walking into a new season where we could do that. And part and parcel of that was to change the name of the church. And some of you might have been thinking, this is taking a long time. You know, it's not our fault that we're dealing with the government. And so, but we are progressing on that, so keep praying in that area. There we go. There we go. And he went on and he spoke about us functioning together. He prophesied about, if you were there, he prophesied us about us being a rock, about having a new voice, about having a new, Ken Grenfell came years before that, and he prophesied about, you're well known in the spiritual realm, but you're not known in the natural, and God wants you to be well known in the natural. And every time we do an outreach to the community, more of the MPs, the members of the parliament, the MPPs come and visit us, and they talk to us, and they, how are you doing? How can we help you? And so we are getting more influence in our community, with the mayor and the leaders of our community. So I'm excited about what Greg and Michelle are saying, but I just wanted this morning to take the opportunity is to remind you that we're, as Greg said, the new dispensation, it's not something we're waiting for to happen. It's already happened. We're already walking in that. A new season, we're already walking in that. But as we progress through the weekend and as the words come, don't just sit there and go, oh, yeah, okay. Write them down. Pay attention to them. Because we really believe, as an eldership, as a leader of this of the body here, that Greg and Michelle have an apostolic gift as apostles as well, not just apostolic, the whole team thing. But Michelle functions in an Ephesians 4 gift of prophecy, which is, then she explained a little bit about that on Wednesday night. And so the point I'm making, I'm not trying to boost her, but pay attention when she speaks. We had a wonderful lady in our church who helped plant the church, never really ever said very much. But when she used to pick up the mic and speak in South Africa, I used to hit Bridget in the ribs and say, listen to this lady. And she used to speak wisdom and life like you cannot imagine. And I believe that's what Michelle brings to us today. They don't come here with some other kind of anointing. They come as the gift to our body. They are the gift. God has anointed them, appointed them, and called them to come. And so I'm very excited. I mean, you shall be a place of His presence. The power of His presence is going to get stronger and stronger. This shall be a place of healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual. This shall be a place where the priesthood of all believers is not only taught, but practiced by all. God has raised you up for such a time as this. Be at peace with all men. Michelle just said that, but in a different way. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the wellspring of life. Resources beyond what you are needed will be provided. Do you remember when Ashley came in after that in March, his prophecy over the church? I get scared when I think of it because it's a shameless one. Our church building would be our administration center. Our current church building would be our administration. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is shameless. I get terrified when I think of that. Exactly. Yeah, no, I'm going to get one with an ensuite. No, I'm joking. He prophesied, he said, resources and finances would come to us that would range into the millions. That's shameless. But we got to take hold of it. I mean, I love the song selection, this first one, End It All. If we do this, I believe. Greg's word, I believe. Okay. Where did I get to? Guard your heart, resources. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You will be people of influence. Leaders in the community will consult you, and you will be known for your wisdom. I see people speaking to one another and saying, have you heard what is happening at the Bridge, Church for All Nations? Let's declare it. You will be known for your worship, and during many worship times, God's presence will manifest in such a way that you will not be able to stand, and in those times you will see manifestations of the miraculous. We have already seen some of that. Signs and wonders will take place here and as well as through the people wherever they go. It will be a place where the word will be sharp and allowed to do its work. God will use young and old in this place, and none will be unappreciated. You will be at peace again. I don't know how he slipped that in, but anyway. Leaders will come here and be restored. God says, I am sending you burnt stones. Polish them up, refurbish them, give them hope, for I am not through with them. And then he went on to give us some scriptures. New. We are in a new season. We are walking in this season. Let's keep praying. Let's look to the future. Let's live in the rest of our peace. Jesus, our Lord of the Sabbath. He is our Sabbath rest.
I'm just going to pray. So I'd just like to, one of the things that we're becoming to realize is that when God speaks a word, he speaks it to our church. And I'm thoroughly convinced that the Lord is looking for anybody who will believe him. Anybody. Don't care how old you are. If you're a teenager and you dare to take God at his word, he'll engage with you. You'll see stuff change because God doesn't need human effort. He just needs faith. Just add faith and stir, and the word of God happens. Right? That's how it happens. So I'd like us to just pray, because I believe God is declaring a season of you, a season of rest, Sabbath, Jubilee. He's declaring a season of peace, and by that we mean in the circumstances. You'll have peace in your circumstances. Some of you will have peace because he removed the circumstances. See? It doesn't mean automatically, you said I'd have peace. Yeah, Jesus said, my peace I give you, not like the world gives. The way the world gives peace is it takes away everything that could possibly cause stress. The way God gives peace sometimes is he sets a table for you in the presence of your enemy. He makes the enemy come. See, come here. Stand there. Brings out his people. Have a meal. There's an enemy there. He says, yeah, no, he has to watch. He says, so he prepares a table for me in a banquet in the presence of my enemies. So sometimes the Lord's going to do that for you. So you go, I'm trusting God for peace and my circumstances didn't change. No, whether then he's just making your enemy stand around so that he can tease the enemy with your life. That's what God's trying to do. Sometimes he'll remove the enemy. Okay, so either one, I don't know, but I'm up for both. And then this issue of your own sound and your own voice, your own face. God wants to see your face, hearts, Bridge. There's a day for you. There's a moment here for you. There's a destiny for you as a church. There is something in the heart of God. When the Spirit of God planted this church, right now He has a plan for you. And you're part of that. You come under the anointing of God's word over this house. So I'm going to just pray a prayer. And I want you to just dare to believe it. And let's agree together. Okay? Can we come in unity? Can we give a collective amen to what the Lord has said this morning? And say, so be it here, Lord. Let's pray. Father, as a church, as a team, as a group of people, we collectively say amen to your word. We say, Lord, amen to Sabbath rest, the Jubilee declaration. We receive it from heaven, Lord. We'll walk in Sabbath rest, Lord. We say amen to the peace that you've decreed over lives. We say amen, Lord, to the breaking and removal of circumstances. And also, Lord, amen to the feasting in the presence of our enemies. We say amen, Lord, to peace in every way that it'll manifest. And Lord, we say amen to the beauty and the creativity of our own voice and our own face and the intimacy, Lord, implied in that moment. We say amen, Lord, to encounters with you. We say amen, Lord, Holy Spirit, to the revelation from heaven. We say amen, Lord Jesus, that you would capture us. Come away with me, my love, my beloved, my beautiful one. We pray, Lord, for captivating encounters with everybody in the church, that we would see your face and that you would see ours. And so, Lord, we agree, we adopt, we embrace and celebrate all that you have said in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.